Good morning, everybody. Chanukah Sameach. We are in Parashat Miketz. Vayhi Miketz Shnatayim Yamim. And after 2 years, Pharaoh is dreaming a dream. Now, first of all, we have to understand and realize, why is Joseph getting out of jail? Because of the dream of Pharaoh? And that's what the Torah is telling us. Vayhi Miketz Shnatayim Yamim. After, let's say, his sentence was finished, because if you remember, he says to the Sarah Mashkim, Zachartani Vizkartani, remember me, and got part twice. And for this, every time he says remember, he had to believe, he had to stay for another year in jail. Now it's ended. And God decided, that's it. And now Pharaoh is dreaming a dream. And by the way, the way it's written, ופרעו חולם, you should have, ויחלום פרעו, like the dreams of Joseph. ויחלום, ויחלמו. What is ופרעו חולם? And Pharaoh is dreaming. So one of the Midrashim says that Pharaoh was dreaming the same dream for 2 years. But, in other words, to show us that really, Yaakov had to get out of jail 2 years ago. But, Joseph, sorry. But because of what he did, Pharaoh was waking up every morning and forgetting the dream. Doesn't know about it. So for 2 years ever. But after 2 years, ופרעו חולם והנה עומד על היום, and now he's dreaming the dream, and when he wakes up in the morning, it's telling us, ויקץ פרעו והנה חלום. And he woke up, and it is a dream. In other words, now he remembers the dream. And he remembers the dream in a way that he has to find a solution as quickly as possible. So, now, he tells the dream to his wise people, the Chartumim of Mitzrayim. They, you know, till now, a lot of people don't know exactly what they knew then. They were so clever. And those clever people cannot find a solution to the dreams. And by the way, the dreams are so simple. Talking about fat cows and thin cows. Talking about, how do you say chita? Weed. Full weed. Thin weed. Well, everybody sees it's talking about food here. And it comes out from the Ya'or. What is the Ya'or? It's a river that brings water and life. In other words, what are you talking about? You're talking about food, water. And they cannot find a solution. And we have to understand, first of all, why. There are a lot of strange things in the parsha. We're not going to talk about all of them. For example, if you talk about the brothers, they come to Egypt to look for their brother, and they don't recognize him. And as we said before, he looks exactly like Yaakov, like their father. In other words, one of them says, why didn't know him? Because when he left, he was very young, didn't have a beard yet, and now he's got a beard. But sorry to tell you, if he's got a beard, he even looks even more like his father. And then he's talking about God, and he's behaving in a strange way. He's afraid from God. He eats kosher food. And then don't see that it's Yosef. This is weird. And also here, those wise people of Pharaoh cannot see the simple solution. So first of all, we have to understand God is controlling everything from high above. And if he wants something to happen, it's going to happen. Even if it doesn't look real, it's going to happen in a very strange way. That's one of the explanations. There are a lot of other explanations. And I normally don't like the explanation. So, okay, God decided and that's it. Because that's a very simple explanation. And we can solve every problem saying it. And we learn nothing out of it. Because we have to understand the end of the way, there is something to learn. And what is here to learn? First of all, we have to, sometimes you don't want to see something. Or you think it's too complicated that you will see it in the right way. Both ways we see in our parsha. The wise people of Pharaoh cannot believe that Pharaoh is dreaming such a simple dream. It's like, for example, if a professor in university, which is a physics major, whatever, is going to ask you, how much is 2 plus 2? You won't believe that he's asking this question. We'll start thinking, maybe he wants to know this and that. And that's exactly the problem that is standing in front of those wise people. It looks simple, but it cannot be. What, Pharaoh is dreaming such a simple? Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, must be complicated. So they look for unbelievable solutions, while the solution is right in front of their eyes. The same as the light of Hanukkah. The light of Hanukkah, what is the idea of the light of Hanukkah? We think that everything is nature. And we don't realize that everything is a miracle. Everything around us. That's why you say Alanisim, where in Modim Anachnu Lach, when you say Modim, on what? Al Nisecha Shebechol Yom Imanu, on the miracles that every day are with us. That's why, by the way, you put the lamp, let's say the best place to put the lamp, the Halacha says, is between 30 centimeters to 1 meter. Why? Because you don't have to raise up your head and you don't have to take down your head. You go like this and you see. This is the way you see. Why? To remind us and show us that the miracle is around us. You don't have to look for it. It's there in front of your eyes. And that's exactly what is the big lesson sometimes that we learn from our parsha. The miracle of Hanukkah is to show us that everything is from God and everything is one big miracle. For example, our sages ask, why do you celebrate 8 days while you had oil enough for 1 day? So in other words, the 1 day is no miracle. Only the 7 days later are the miracle. So why do you celebrate 8 days? To show you, first of all, that even the first day is a miracle. It is a miracle. Everything is a miracle. God decided that oil is going to burn. Now when we look at the simple solution that Joseph comes out with, we see another unbelievable thing. Joseph, instead of only explaining Pharaoh about a dream, he is also giving me advice how to manage. Who asked you to be an advisor? And how is Pharaoh taking it? Because you have to understand, Pharaoh is the king of Egypt. Authority in the old ancient time. There is nobody that can compete with Egypt. They rule everything. And this is the ruler, Pharaoh. And he, in one pick of a finger, can kill you with no problem. No questions asked, nothing. And this guy comes out of jail, a slave, tells Pharaoh what to do, gives him advices. Nevertheless, and this is also a big lesson, what is Joseph telling Pharaoh? And Pharaoh tells him, I heard that you can solve dreams. Says, I? Le'ashem ha'pitonim. God solves dreams, not me. And eventually, what is Pharaoh saying? Pharaoh is saying, after he hears the solution, the pitaron, says, ויתב הדבר בעיני פרעה ובעיני כל עבדיו, ויום הפרעה לעבדיו, והנמצא כזה איש אשר רוח אלוקים בו? Is there anybody like this guy that the spirit of God is in him? And then, ויומר פרעה אל יוסף, אחרי הודיע אלוקים אותך, and after God told you, what's happening here? This guy Pharaoh is telling everybody that he is God. And Joseph comes to him and tells him, you are not God. There is a God in heaven. And instead of killing him, he's listening to him. And nevertheless, after listening to him, he admits that there is a God, and God talks through Joseph. Unbelievable. And this is the guy that 2 years before told the Sarah Mashkim, remember. He learned his lesson. He learned the lesson in a way that nobody else can learn. Because standing in front of Pharaoh, who says, I am God, and telling him, you are not God, and then he gives him an advice what to do. You have to take a wise guy and to make sure that he makes sure that in the years that is going to be a famine, you have to make sure that to provide for the good year. Sorry, in the good years, you have to provide for the bad years. So you have to take somebody to this and that. And nevertheless, Pharaoh is not sending him away. He's not killing him. He's like, wow, this is a good advice. You are going to be in charge. This guy is a slave. A Jewish slave. And you're putting him now in on top of everybody? This is amazing. And what is the solution? What's the idea behind it? And he says, you need a wise guy. He says, why do you need a wise guy? It sounds very simple. You take in the good years, the harvest, you put it in a warehouse, and when the bad years come, you've got plenty. What's so clever about it? Says Or HaChaim HaKadosh, it is very clever. Why? Imagine to yourself that we have fields, and when we come, we see, wow, we've got so many fruits, so many, the harvest is unbelievable. Never we had like this. So the first year, wow, Baruch Hashem. Second year, how do you work the third years if you got so much? Are you going to work hard or are you going to... In other words, when you come to the sixth years, you don't even bother to go to the field. Because everything comes like... And what's going to happen then?
Yeah, nothing.
You've got nothing. In other words, the wisdom of Joseph was to give the feeling of, I haven't got it, when you've got plenty. That's a wisdom. To give the feeling to somebody that you have to work while you think the parnosa is unbelievable without doing anything. And this is the clever thing. How did he do it? First of all, he made them pay a lot of taxes. 20% taxes. Which means the minute you know that you have to pay 20% taxes, so you want to make sure that you've got something left for you. So people worked. And this way, he put everything in the warehouses, and when the time come, he's got plenty for everybody. And this is really what happened. Another clever thing he did, when the brother came to Egypt, one interesting thing was happening. How did he know, or why did the brother come to him? Well, the one who is the ruler of Egypt, he's dealing with people that come to buy food. Is this his business? So how do they get to him? To his palace? Because Joseph, what he did, in order for people not to buy and then sell for more, as we all know, you have a good show where somebody buys all the tickets and then sells them double the price outside. If it's a show in London, in New York, or if it's a show here in Israel, they buy the tickets and then sell them for double the price or four times the price. Now, Joseph didn't want this to happen. So what did he do? They had a ration. Everybody had a portion, and that's it. So how do you do it? Everybody had to give his name and the name of his father. And the minute he was in the list, that's it. He couldn't come again today. So this way, he did two things. First of all, he prevented people to dealing and wheeling with the food and make it go a high in price. And then he also could know exactly who is coming into Egypt. And he told them in all the gates, gave them a list of the black list. You see those people? See? Reuven ben Yaakov, Yehuda ben Yaakov, this list is a black list. Those people come here, you bring them to me. They came in 10 different gates. But no problem. Okay. What's your name? Reuven ben Yaakov. Okay, stand here. In the other gate. What's your name? Yehuda ben Yaakov. Stand here. And then they took them all and brought him into Joseph. So we see how clever things are being done. Another interesting thing is, what is the idea, or what is it telling to us, the idea of those 7 years against the 7 years? What is the idea behind the fat cows coming up, and then the thin cows eat them, and it looks like they never eaten? Maybe they mean it's like I went to a posh restaurant years ago. They called it Cordon Bleu. So they brought those big plates with a big cover on it, and all the waiters in one go took the cover out, and then I saw
a tiny little
something like this.
Nouvelle cuisine.
What? Nouveau cuisine. I said nouveau cuisine, cuisine, schmozine. Then I went to eat falafel afterwards. And you know, this is exactly the point. Sometimes in life we see things that we cannot understand, but people, they play the game. Now those thin cows that I had on my plate, I couldn't, I was hungry more than when I got it. It was an appetizer. You know, just open the thing. So what is the idea behind it? The idea is that we here in this world, we have 7 years. 70, 80, 90, but it's limited. And it goes quickly, and then we go to the next world. And they say, "Mi she'tarach be'erev Shabbat, yochal be'Shabbat." And this is the big lesson behind it. When you in life, you have to make sure when you have thick cows, when you have good years, make sure that you put something aside for the bad years. Or in other words, don't live above your abilities because you've got plenty. And it happens a lot in life. I knew a diamond dealer that he did was working with a lot of money. And he didn't realize that he's really working with the bank's money, not his own money. Mm-hmm. And the percentage in diamond, the profit, is very low. In other words, you can sell diamonds for $1 million, but what you get at the end is $10,000. That's the way it works. And you have to pay the bank back, you have to pay. So this guy was going better and better deals, and at the end he thought that all the money is his. So he lived in a way
way above his means.
Well, he bought the best car he could. He was traveling all around, the best clothes. You know, a few years ago I read about somebody who was buying, he was wearing clothes only once. Yes, and he was living in near Kikar HaMdina, and he was going in a shop, he was buying all the best clothes, wearing it once, and then throwing it away. Now, this is like being filthy rich, but it's filthy. Like, this is really filthy. Now, this guy also, he thought, he can do whatever he wants. And he did one big, very big deal, and it went
sour.
And he had to big, and it was a lot of money. And he lost everything. And he was in debt. From the other side, I knew a lot of diamond dealers. Mostly it's those who are years there. And they, you know, when they came to my shop, they were the hardest people to deal with.
Because I look after
them. Whoa, they looked after, I says, what? Like they were sometimes arguing about 1 shekel, 2 shekel, 20 shekel. Like you're talking about, they buy like for 10,000 shekel, and he's arguing with you with 20 shekel, and it could make you crazy. But at the end of the year, you understood what they think. Of course, you have to have the middle way. But this is exactly the idea. When you climb on the ladder, when you are 1, 2, 3, when you fall, it doesn't hurt so much. But if you climb up, when you fall, oh, how it hurts. Yeah. So this is why we have to prepare ourselves and to understand and realize that when God gives us, He gives us for us to do the best thing we can, spiritually and physically and materialistically. And you have to think about it. What do you do with the money? There is a story about a king who had one of his servant did something good for him, and he wanted to reward him. So he told him, you know what? In 2 weeks' time, you can come to the treasure, and I'll give you 7 minutes, and you can take whatever you can out of it, of the treasure. And after he said this, he already regretted saying it.
What?
He already regretted saying it. He says, "Whoa, what did I do?" So this guy goes, and he calls his wise people, his consultants. He says, "I have a problem. No, I didn't think about it. You know what? You know what he can take in 7 minutes? Diamonds, it can take a fortune. What do I do?" So some guy said, "You know what, let me investigate a little about the guy." And 2 days later he comes, "My king, I have a solution." He says, "What's the solution?" "This guy loves music, really loves music. What you do, when he comes, you put inside the treasure room the best orchestra you've got, with the best choir, with the best violins, with the best conductor, everything, the best of the best. And when he comes in, you play the music. This guy is already preparing himself for the big day. He's already buying on the account of what he's going to take out. Now he comes. He's got those big sacks with him. And he's ready. Okay, go in. He goes in. He wants to start. And then he suddenly hears this music. He says, oh, what a beautiful music. He closes his eyes and listens. So, oh, I have to take something. And he wants to take a diamond that he sees on the floor or somewhere. And suddenly this violin starts. And he plays. Wow. You never heard somebody playing like this. This music was heavenly. And he's listening. Wow. And then again, another cozy, another instrument, and another instrument. And he's enjoying what's happening. Somebody takes him in his arms, finished, and takes him out. And he got nothing. Now, this guy was stupid. But he didn't know what's waiting for him inside. He was not prepared. We are prepared. God tells us there are temptations. This world is the treasure room of God. You can take mitzvahs and more mitzvahs. You've got a limited time. Use it properly. Use it wisely. But know, Yetzer Hara is there with you. And you will hear beautiful music. And you will see beautiful things. Don't listen to it. Take it in your mind that there are limited time and prepare yourself and take whatever you can. Do as much mitzvah as you can. This is the light of Hanukkah. To light our eyes against the darkness. Normally we think, what is darkness? Darkness is choshech. Choshech. What is choshech? Dark. Black. But when you go out in the street, what do you see? You see dark. You see light. You see beautiful shops. You remember I told you the story about this guy who comes the first time to a movie. And he's got a problem with his eyes. And he doesn't understand why people sit in the dark watching the movie. So the next time he comes again to the movie, but with a big torch. And the minute they turn off the lights and the movie starts, he puts on this big torch to light the picture. He wants to see better. But what happens when he lights the picture?
Everybody sees.
Everything is... First of all, nobody sees anything because all the figures that he saw 2 minutes on the screen, they are not there anymore. Because the light lit in it, the dark, and there is nothing to see. And everybody is shouting, turn off the light, turn off the light. What is this? This is us, living in a movie. Chaim beseret, we say in Hebrew. Living in a movie, what do you mean? We see everything around us, we think it's true. And when the light comes, we says, turn off the light. We're enjoying ourselves. Well, we're running after all the desires we want, all the beautiful shops, all the beautiful tours, all the clubs, all the gambling, doing this and that. Wow! Turn off the light. This is the light of Hanukkah again. To show us that what we think is shining and bright is really dark. Evil. Of course, again I'm saying, the light is to show us the right way. So God doesn't want us to suffer. He wants us to enjoy life, to use the tools, to use everything we've got in this world, but use it wisely and understand and realize what is important and what is not so important. So you can enjoy life, you can enjoy all the facilities and all the good things in life, but in a normal way. And this is the idea of those 7 years. We've got everything. But if you don't make sure to keep and to do the right thing in those 7 years, when the feminine years are going to come, you're going to be left with nothing. And in order to remind us this, we light the candles. And I want to end this shiur in another interesting thing. The Gemara asks, Ma'i Hanukkah? What is Hanukkah? And it sounds like a stupid question. And by the way, they don't ask it on Purim. They don't ask on Pesach and not on Shabbos, only on Hanukkah. My Hanukkah. If you ask every small kid in a kindergarten, what is Hanukkah? It's quite, what do you mean? It was a miracle with a candle. The candle was supposed to lit only for one day and it was going on for 8 days. We all know it, yes? So what is the question? What our wise people, our sages didn't know this simple answer. But the real truth is, if you look in Al HaNisi, you can look through it later on. Try and find the miracle of the candle. I can tell you right away, you won't find it. The miracle of the candle is not written there. It's written about winning the few against the plenty, the purity against impurity, and a lot of, also it's written up that they lit candles, but nothing about the miracle. And this is the question. If this is what we say on Al-Nisim, why did our sages tell us to light candles if they don't even talk about it in Al-Nisim? And we all know that it was a miracle with the candles. So what is that? What is the miracle of Hanukkah? So first we have to understand that the miracle of Hanukkah is not the candle. As we said before, miracles are happening all the time. The big miracle is that a few won the war. That the purity won the impurity. That's the big war. But the problem is that when we talk like this, people will think, oh, it's nature. Oh, he was more clever. He had more power. 6 Day War, if you remember. All the albums that went out like afterwards, none of them remembered or said or mentioned God. Really? Did they think that this small country with a small army won this war without God?
Impossible.
You know, they went to England. England, they have this institute that investigates all the wars and that went into history and to learn the lesson out of them. And then they teach it in officer, officer course in England.
Officer's training.
And they also spread it all over the world. It's well known. Don't remember how it's called. So our generals, after the 6 Day War, went there and asked them, "Nu, what do you learn from this 6 Day War?" And you know, they looked at them. What do we learn? Nothing. He says, what do you mean nothing? Look what a great war we had. He says, great war? Do you really think that you did something here? This is the guy telling them. This is nothing to learn. It's a miracle. It's impossible. Nothing to learn from it. Only one thing. And what did say Paro? Admitted there is a God. And this is exactly the idea of the light of Hanukkah. To understand and realize what is the light and what is the darkness. My Hanukkah, what is Hanukkah? Hanukkah is to remind us, and that's why we use the candle. Because the candle is the light. And the candle, by the way, a miracle of a candle was happening all the time in the first temple. There was the Western candle that was lit up the whole week with no problem. Not only the whole week, the whole year. 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. So what is so great about the miracle of one candle was lit for 8 days? If we look at it from this perspective, nothing. But the point is that in order to make sure that we understand and realize what is Hanukkah about, we light the candles to remind us that a small candle is a big miracle. But everything around us is a miracle. And the big miracle of Hanukkah is that the light of few was lit and the purity was winning the battle against impurity. This is Hanukkah. The Hanukkah is not this small candle that was lit for 8 days. Or Hanukkah is not Kvutzat Maccabi in sport. That's not Kochi V'Otzim Yadi. It's not the physical power that won this war. It's the spiritual power. That the resemblance of it is in the light. Because the light of the menorah is the light of the Torah. And this is why we light the candles to the street. That the light will brighten up the darkness of the street. What street? The streets of us. Go out and see. All the temptation of the world are today more than ever. Everything is accessible. Everything is very easy. And it's very tempting. You know, when the Greek came here, they thought they'd bring us the light. And from their point of view, it was light. You know what is one of our problems with the Greek culture or the Western culture? That it's very similar to ours. But there is one small difference. And Avraham Avinu said it to Avimelech. Says, "Rak en yirat Elokim b'makom hazeh v'haraguni al dvar ishti." There is not fear of God here. And if there is not fear of God, you can have the best manner in the world, and we saw it in history. The Nazis, the German nation, cultured, polite, and they were the worst beasts in the world that ever existed in the world. Why? Rak en yirat Elokim b'makom hazeh. If there is no fear of God, the Greek culture puts the man in the center. The ego. Me. Everything is there to serve me. The Jewish tradition puts God in the center, or, and this is what Kabbalah says, do you know what God is? Klal, the Klal. The Klal, everybody. That's God. In other words, we put the community in the middle. We put the world in the middle. We have to provide the world and not the world provide us. Is how, who said it?
Kennedy.
Don't tell me what the country can do to me. Tell what you can do to the country. And this is exactly the idea of Hanukkah. We put the light of the Torah, the light of the Kodesh Baruch Hu in the middle. That's the center. And that's the real light. We are not alone in this world. So they also have hospitals, they also have tzedakah, they also do all those things. And it's very easy to be tempted. And that's what Yaakov, what is, who is saying this? I think Abraham, Vayishkon Bo'alei Shem. Says Yefet Yishkon Bo'alei Shem. Says in one of the blessings. What's the meaning? Yefet is Greek. And he's going to dwell in the tents of Shem, which is the tents of Am Yisrael. In other words, it is here with us. And we have to make the definition and understand and realize what is Greek and what is Jewish. What is the Western culture and what is our culture. Because it's very, very similar. And it's very hard to make the difference. That's why we need a light. To light our eyes and see the truth behind the surface. And we can look in history and see it. Rak en yirat Elokim b'makom hazeh. We put the Kodesh Baruch Hu in the middle. We put ourselves for the klal and not the klal for us. It's what we do for God. What we do for our friends and not what our friends do for us. It's like somebody says in a couple, when you have two people and sometimes, you know, they don't realize it. What is the whole idea about it? I'll give you, you'll give me. That's not the idea of marriage. That's not the idea. The idea is we give each other. We build something that is bigger than one. One plus one is two. And that's the big thing to do. And Bezrat Hashem, we hope that the light of Hanukkah will light our eyes and show us what is true and what is lie. What is the purity and what is impurity. It's not very easy sometimes, but we have to look and find. That's the idea of Hanukkah. And to remember always to provide. This is Baruch Hashem the time, and the time is limited. We are in the treasure room, and we can take so many mitzvahs. So don't let Yetzer Hara influence you. Do as many mitzvahs as you can.